verses 9, 10, and 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah! I'm going to preach to you tonight. I was seeking the mind of God. I don't borrow texts a whole lot from other sources. I'm not above doing it, but I don't do a whole lot of it. And I was thinking about this, and I got to thinking what God's done for me. How many remember what the Lord's done for you? How many remember out yonder what might have been? How many thank God He's brought you in to bring you up? Hallelujah. We thank God for His blessings. We're going to ask you to pray. God will bless us in this sermon tonight into your hearts. And you pray with Brother Rutledge as he prays right now, please.
Lord, we need help. Oh, God, we always need help. We need you for sanctification. We need you for pure holiness. We need you for the way out, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Bless our brothers and bring to us the word of life. Give us ears to understand and a heart to believe.
Yes, Lord.
All we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to talk tonight for a little while, and I don't plan to preach too long. I want us to have a good altar service, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Just looky here what God has done.
Hallelujah.
Just looky here what God has done.
All right.
How many feel like He's done a great big work for you?
Sure.
There's a poem, and I'm sure you've heard it, but it illustrates the point perfectly. Titled, The Touch of the Master's Hand, about an old violin. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $2, $2, and who'll make it $3? Going for $3 once, going for $3 twice, going for $3, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forth and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a carol sweeter than a caroling angel could sing. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, Now, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who make it $2? $2,000, who make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice. Going and gone, cried he. Well, the crowd cheered, but some of them cried, We do not understand what changed its worth. Quick came the reply. 'Twas the touch of the master's hand.
Hallelujah.
Many a man with life out of tune is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of porridge, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. How many can raise your hand and thank God what he's done for you? Hallelujah! I'll be preaching from Ephesians 2. Verse 1, Paul reminded this church, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let us never forget, my brother and sister, tonight, as David said in Psalms 51 and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Isaiah 53, 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In Romans 3, verse 10, the Bible said, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5, 12, "Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For under the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them which had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." I read also in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We were conceived in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We were born undone, unregenerate, unwashed in the blood of Jesus, polluted, contaminated, condemned, wallowing in our own blood. When the Lord found us, oh, thank God for the Son of Man that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish." With the God, you would hear that tonight. Without Jesus, you're lost. Without the Holy Ghost, you're none of His. Romans 8 verse 9, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What can you do? Jesus gave the answer in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. They told him a story. A tower in Siloam they were building fell on 18 men and killed them. And they came to Jesus and said, "These must have been terrible sinners for an accident like that to happen." But Jesus said in verse 5, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish."
They told him another story of some unfortunate people whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And they thought these must have been terrible, immoral, unclean people for this tragedy to happen. But Jesus said, verse 3, Luke 13, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's turn or burn. It's holiness or hell. It's repent or perish. You've got no choice tonight. You've got sin in your life. Oh, thank God. I'm standing here as a living witness what the Lord can do, what the Lord has done. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? How many raise their hand and say, just look here what God's done for me. Hallelujah. My, if we had time for you to tell and for me to tell some of the horrible stories, the deep miry clay we've been brought out of, the filth, the uncleanness, the lasciviousness, the immoral, the way we used to live. Come on now. Oh, God, but He brought us out of all of that. Hallelujah. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He was talking to this church in Ephesus. This church at Ephesus was baptized in Jesus' name. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, for the Bible tells me so. In Acts the 19th chapter, the Bible said it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto them, what were you baptized? And they said unto John baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. They heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the only name to be baptized in. Acts 4 verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Remission of sins is in Jesus' name baptism. Luke 24, 47 said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Acts 10, 43 said, to Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 2:38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Thank God I was baptized in the name of Jesus, the only name that remits sins. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. And all the men were about 12. Out of those 12 men that were baptized in Jesus' name, that had received the Holy Ghost, a thriving church was born in Ephesus. Those people received the real New Testament experience. Thank God I got the same thing tonight. I've been baptized the same way. Just look at here what God has done. I'm a living example. I'm a flesh and blood example. What God can do and what God has done. Have me raise your hand again and say, you're one of them too. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm like the brother said, I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I was. I can look at the pit. I can look at the slush, the slime. I can look at the uncleanness. Thank God He took me out of that. Hallelujah! Thank God for salvation! Praise be to God! In Titus 2, verse 11, the Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Everybody say appearing. Jehovah Witness said Jesus came invisibly in 1914. But Titus 2:13 said appearing. And Acts 1 tells me, verse 11, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Glory to God! Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Let's hear you say, a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. And you'll get a kaleidoscope. Listen carefully. And you'll take a trip down memory lane. Listen carefully. And you'll have a flashback what you used to be and where God has brought you from. Titus 3 verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. To obey magistrates. To be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers but gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Why, Paul? Why do you tell Titus to tell the church that? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, oh hallelujah, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us, according to His mercy hath He saved us, according to His mercy hath He saved us, according to His mercy hath He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now some people teach a backslider comes back home, they just slip back into the pew and take up where they left off. But my Bible tells me you're saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you want to renew an antique or renew a piece of furniture, you've got to get it back in the original condition as best as possible. Come on now. Brother, I strongly advocate a backslider coming to the altar and praying through and talking in other tongues and getting a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I strongly admonish all of us periodically to renew this. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, just look at here what God's done. Hallelujah. Instead of in the bar, I'm in the church. Instead of at the race track, I'm in the pew. Instead of gambling with the baby's food and with my wife's grocery money, thank God I'm in the church. Think of it. Instead of a staggering blind drunk falling in the gutter, I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, look here what God's done. We ought to be thankful. Let's praise Him for it right now. Hallelujah. All right, hold on. Here we go. Ephesians 2, verse 1 again. And you hath equipped who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now admit it tonight. You weren't always the paragon of virtue you are tonight. You weren't always the repository of worldly wisdom that you are tonight. You weren't always so sagacious as you are tonight. You weren't always so fit and fiddle as you are tonight. You did foolish things, unclean things, immoral things, dishonest things. Come on now! You walked according to the course of this world. You believed in doing others before they did you. You believed in doing anything to get by. The end justified the means. Come on now! Walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. You may not like to admit it, nor I, but we served the devil. We marched at his grind wheel. We did his bidding. That's right! According to the prince of the power of the air. The children, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We thought anything we wanted to think. My, the vivid technicolor of uncleanness that walked through our minds. Oh, dear God, help us, dear Lord. We did anything we wanted to do. And some of the things it wouldn't be polite and nice to talk about tonight, some of us have done. Oh, dear God, I thank you that you saved me from a horrible pit. That you brought me out of a deep, miry clay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You read the next verse?
But God, but God, comma, who is rich in mercy. The devil would like you to think God's gone bankrupt. The devil would like for you to think there's no hope for you at the altar. The devil would like for you to think that he doesn't love you anymore, that God doesn't. The devil would like for you to think you can't receive the Holy Ghost, that you can't get out of the briars and thorns and thistles, amen, and the quagmire and the quicksand that you're sinking in tonight. The devil would have you to think you can extricate yourself through the blood of Jesus, that you're a hopeless case, that you're a terminal spiritual cancerous case. Oh, hear me tonight. God is still rich in mercy. He's still on the throne. He still answers prayer. He's still saving sinners. He's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! He's still honoring baptism in Jesus' name. Praise God, He's rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us even when we were dead in sins. Hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Look at this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, I've got to tell you something tonight. The church is a blood-bought, Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost-filled entity that is the body of Christ. The church is made up of the baptized body of believers of water and spirit. The church is made up of used to be sinners, used to be fornicators, used to be adulterers, used to be liars, used to be cheaters. The church is made up of the used to be smokers. Oh, the scum of society, the all-scouring of the earth. My God! But now, in the church, we've been washed in the blood, baptized in His name. And the Bible said in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Step aside, angels. The Lord's going to bring a church home. And when He parades that church down Hallelujah Avenue with all the angels looking on, I'm here to tell you tonight that while the ages roll on and on and on, the church is going to shine and shine and shine as the bride of Jesus Christ. Another verse of Scripture says it again in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Thank God for the power. Hallelujah. Unto Him be glory in the church. Hallelujah. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Can you grasp with your itty-bitty finite mind, ages tumbling on top of ages? Can we grasp a little speck of sand on an infinite beach and hold it up and say there's a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion years? And while the ages tumble on top of the ages, this song of redemption will never grow old. That I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That I was bought by the blood of Jesus. That I've been saved by His power. Kept by His name. Sanctified by His Spirit. Can you say amen? I hear in the book of Revelation something that thrills my heart every time I read it. For the church, the Bible tells me in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation and the verse number 9, the Bible said, and they sung a new song. Oh, dear God, you think you sung tonight, but wait till we sing that new song. Oh, God, with silver slippers on our feet of gold, with an immortal body that'll never grow old. No lumbago or crippling arthritis. Oh, no emphysema or cancer. Never get tired. The roses never fade and the river never freezes. Oh, the Bible said we're going to sing a new song. And they sung a new song saying, art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thank God I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
sang with a loud voice. Now this entourage, this redeemed company, this church of the firstborn, these used to be sinners and backbiters and haters and liars and scoundrels are standing around the throne. The Bible said, sang with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. If I make heaven, I'm going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Because I know what God's done for me. How about you tonight? Listen to me, angels. You can't sing this song. You step aside. I've got a song that the angels cannot sing. You don't know what it means to be extricated from sin's infestation. Angel! You don't know what it means when He raised and down and lifted me out of the miry clay. I've got a song that the angels cannot sing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I said, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy.
How about you say that with me? Come on.
Worthy.
Oh, dear God, dear God. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but the Holy Ghost is a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. And I'm practicing up for that grand reunion day when all of God's people from all the ages are going to gather around the throne. And we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Now, I haven't got there yet, and that's in the future. But I'm practicing up now. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm going to have my speech down pat. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let me run that through again. Because one of these days I'm going to have to say it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. 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 Worthy. 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 Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank God. Do you know somebody seems to think, well, they like to quote that scripture out of Matthew 6 and verse 13, or 7 and verse 13, that said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, that heaven's going to be so sparsely populated, there won't be very many there. But you take a few out of the antediluvian age, may have been just 8, but you take a few out of Abraham's day, and Isaac and Jacob, Jonah and Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai's day. And you take a few out of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel's day. Hallelujah! You take a few out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day. And you take a few out of Moses' day. Hallelujah! And you take a few out of Amos's and Obadiah's day. And a few out of Paul, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Andrew, Luke, Philip, Bartholomew, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, Silas's day. And you get them all together. Well, you get them all together. Let me tell you, there's going to be a reunion. How many want to make it? Let me tell you about how many John thought he saw. I don't know if he had a computer. I don't know if he had an added machine. I don't know if he had just a pen or a lead pencil. But he tried, like we do on Sunday morning, he tried to run a count. And when he stood there, gap and bug-eyed, and standing there looking on that big crowd, oh, glory be to God. The Bible said, I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, beast, the elders. And he said, and the number of them, let's see now. And the number of them, let's see now. And the number of them was 10,000. Yeah, there's 10,000. Times 10,000. That's 100 million. And brother, the computer, it just broke down and smoked up and said, I'm all through. Hallelujah. And John just said, in thousands of thousands. Can you visualize this? 100 million plus. The roar greater than 100,000 Niagaras. Oh, glory be to God. And that vast throng of people standing around the throne saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Once I was blind, but now I see. Worthy is the Lamb. Once I was a drunkard, but now I'm free. Worthy is the Lamb. Once I was a profane, lascivious, adulterous, fornicator, but worthy is the Lamb. Once I was a liar and a cheat and a two-timer, but worthy is the Lamb. Glory, 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 glory. Everybody say, worthy is the Lamb.
slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and honor and glory and blessing. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say. Brother, that means the Leviathan that swims in the ocean, the whale, he stops, comes up and says, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. That means the leopard that stalks the forest says, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, glory to God. All of them joining together. What are they saying? Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and of the Lamb forever and ever. I believe he's worthy of our praise tonight. Have you glad what God's done in your life? Have you glad that he saved you from a horrible sin? Let's praise him right now for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Wherefore remember. Oh, what a wealth of material in those words. How many don't want to ever forget what Jesus has done for you? Wherefore remember. Ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Look at this. Having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the blood tonight. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And that he might reconcile, hallelujah, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Hallelujah. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off. I was lost, polluted, contaminated, condemned, wallowing in my own sins and blood and iniquity. But he came and preached peace to me. We were a fit subject for hell and damnation and ruin. We were a moral degenerate. We were bankrupt morally. But he came and preached peace. Instead of hellfire, damnation, and consignments to a devil's eternity, he came and preached peace. Thank God for the peace of the cross. Thank God for the peace of the cross. Came and preached peace unto you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. I'm not a stranger anymore. I've been introduced. I know my Jesus tonight. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. How many are thanking God you belong to Jesus tonight? Hebrews 12:22 said, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Some of you sitting here tonight are in your sin and iniquity, wallowing in your uncleanness, lasciviousness, fornication, adultery, lying, cheating, and swearing, and you think you're going to be saved that way. Let me tell you, you better see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You hear me? Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, said, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are made. Hallelujah. As of things that, amen, can be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now you may say, well, it doesn't make any difference. I can go home tonight and I don't have to worry about what I've heard. Let me tell you, you're going to meet God in judgment. You've had a chance to get right with God tonight. Sinner, you've had an opportunity to come clean with God tonight. You've got an opportunity to come out of your sin tonight. You better not refuse him that speaketh. I'm glad I didn't turn him down. Amen. Amen. Amen.
word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now you hear this, preacher. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. We're living in a time when kings and thrones and empires are being toppled over almost overnight. When even the underpinnings of our great democracy is threatened from within and from without. We're living in a time when empires are falling. You hear this, preacher? When governments are toppling. My God, everything that can be shaken is being shaken tonight. You better build on something that'll stand the test. You better build on something that cannot be moved. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The Bible said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Which cannot be moved. Which cannot be moved. Pharaohs come and go. Hitlers, Mussolini's, Stalin's, Napoleon's, the Tsars, the Caesars. Hallelujah. 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 Marcus Aurelius, Antonius, the Zoroasters, the Confucius, the Buddhas. They come and go. Yes, sir. The MacArthur's, the Eisenhower's, the Truman's, the Kennedy's. They come and go. But there's something about this Jesus and His church. It goes on and on and on and on. And on and on. I'm glad I'm built on something that can't be moved tonight. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. Egypt once ruled the world, but she's a shaggy beggar tonight in the junkyard of nations. But the foundation of God standeth sure. Greece and Rome were the cultural geniuses of their day and bequeathed to us much of the flow and ebb and tide of democracy's freedoms. But Greece and Rome are stuck clocks tonight and blind men stumbling at noontime. But the foundation of God goes on and on and on. Spain, whose piratical ship one time harassed all nations, and England almost ruled the world. But tonight there has been, oh my God, but the kingdom of God goes on. And on, and on, and on. Do you get the point? Thank God I'm on something that stands today. Hallelujah! 1 Corinthians 3:11. The other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How many are glad you're built on that tonight? Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You hear me tonight. You're a composite of personality, emotions, base instincts, and lusts and desires. But believe me, Jesus can put it all together tonight. If your life is a shambles and in pieces, maybe you're contemplating suicide, you realize maybe life isn't worth the living. But Jesus can put the pieces together tonight, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Look at this. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Can you hear the knock tonight? Revelation 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I know you're an unclean vessel tonight. I know you're a drunkard maybe and a profane man or woman. And I know you think unholy thoughts and do unholy deeds. But the Holy Ghost wants to take up residence in your soul tonight. If you'll come and repent of your filthy sin tonight, be baptized in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost will come in. He'll make you a habitation of God through the Spirit. You can walk home with joy bells in your soul. You can walk home a sinner that's been washed in the blood. How many of you remember what God's done for you in your life? Thank God! Hallelujah! If you want to look for an example, look at me. Look at these. Look at those that are here tonight. It's not an accident nor a happenstance. We met Jesus one day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad the Holy Ghost took up residence in your life? Hallelujah! Stand with me and raise your hands and praise Him right now. Let's ask for a move of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you'll bow your heads with me right now, as we sang, give you an invitation to come and pray. Please don't anybody leave.
Let's honor the reverence of this altar service tonight. You can have what we got tonight, brother. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Jesus wants to take up residence in your life. Why don't you slip out of that pew and come down here and give your life to Him? Why don't you stand with the redeemed tonight so that you can sing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb."